The death of six cheetahs, three adults and three cubs at the Kunur National Park in Madhya Pradesh since March this year has resulted in serious questions being asked on whether the cheetahs are best suited for India and whether the conditions at Kunur, where they were brought with a lot of fanfare last year and released by the Prime Minister, is indeed suitable. Three of the four cubs born to the cheetah Jwala died earlier this month. Sasha, one of the translocated Namibian cheetahs, died due to a kidney-related ailment on the 27th of March, while the cheetah Uday, brought from South Africa, died on the 13th of April. There are others as well. So the question that arises, are these teething troubles for this program, or are there in fact long-term concerns on whether this project can succeed at all? Joining us now, Ravi Chelam, the CEO of Meta String Foundation and coordinator of the Biodiversity Collaborative in Bengaluru. Later on, we'll be joined by Dr. Anish Andheria, the president of the Wildlife Conservation Trust. But let me come across to you, Mr. Chelam, first. Do you believe that the introduction of cheetahs was appropriate in India?
The cheetahs don't even figure in our National Wildlife Action Plan, which is the policy document guiding conservation in India. This covers the period 2017-2031. If it doesn't figure in our National Wildlife Action Plan, how does it suddenly become a priority? There are several species, Great Indian Bustard, for example, which are crying for attention. I believe it is a misplaced priority. It's an expensive distraction that the country can ill afford.
How would you respond to those who say that there were cheetahs, they are now extinct in India, and therefore it's an attempt at getting the cheetah back to India? Obviously, genetically, these cheetahs are different. Is that not what the goal? Do you not believe that that is a viable goal?
That's a laudable goal. Is it number one, number 10, number 100, or number 1,000 in your priority is what needs to be decided. Great Indian Bustards number less than 150 in this country. There has been one single cause for its death, overhead power lines. The Supreme Court ordered the burying of the power lines. Nothing has happened. Even diverters haven't been put. The government says it doesn't have money to do it. Where do we find and how do we find the money for the cheetahs?
Is this just restricted to money? Because in the case of cheetah, which is a high-profile sort of venture, money doesn't seem to be the problem. But as I understand it, it's the suitability of Kunur National Park, which is one of the big problems. Is that right?
India is not ready to have cheetahs. Cheetahs are wide-ranging, low-density species. On an average, in the best of habitats, they occur in less than 1 per 100 square kilometers. Lions, tigers, leopards all occur 10, 15, 20 to 100 square kilometers. So for cheetahs, you need 4, 5, 6,000 square kilometers of habitat. Do we have it? We don't. So it is not so much about Kunur being unsuitable. It's about India being unsuitable.
The other concern which was raised was, of course, temperatures. A lot of those cubs, three of them, I think, died. And one of the reasons given is the temperatures were uncharacteristically high. But as I understand it, temperatures in Madhya Pradesh in these regions go up to 50 degrees centigrade. And therefore, is this animal, on the grounds of temperature alone, suitable for India?
Temperature is a red herring. Cheetahs live in deserts. They are used to cold as well as hot temperatures. And in this case, the mating took place in captivity. The managers who allowed the mating knew that April, May, June are going to be hot months. Mm-hmm. If they were so concerned about temperatures, why were the male and female allowed to mate? I mean, this is not wild cheetahs mating. These are cheetahs mating within enclosures under full 100% of your control. So temperature to me is not an issue. Temperatures are going to get hotter with climate change. So what are we going to do? Are we going to air condition India?
No, and that in fact brings me to my next question. Is Kunur physically all right to imbibe or incorporate cheetahs? The reason I ask that is because there is an enclosure and there is a larger space as well. I understand the larger point that you're making, that cheetahs need a lot more area. But just in terms of their survival and the availability of wildlife over there, is it suitable?
Survival is I mean, births and deaths don't make or break a project. Those are in some sense the only guarantees in our life. It's the circumstances, the causes of death, and the lessons we need to learn from. Unfortunately, we are still not very clear about the causes for many of the deaths. We don't have access to the postmortem report, so we can't come to an independent judgment. Be that apart, your question is about Kuno. To me, space. Kuno can have the habitat structure, can have the prey, can have everything. But 750 square kilometers, even according to the action plan, is supposed to only accommodate 21 cheetahs. 21 cheetahs don't make a viable long-term population. Our estimates are Kuno is more likely to be able to accommodate between 7 and 10 cheetahs, not 21 cheetahs.
Is it your belief that the long-term survival of the 21 is very much in doubt?
See, again, it depends. This 21 itself, the action plan states, will take 15 years. So it's not tomorrow that you're going to get the 21. So mortality has been factored into the action plan. This 21 is the established population. Today, we can't claim there to be an established population. You are having captive animals which are being released, which are being tailed 24/7. So it's a bit of a circus out there.
Is it your belief that the South African and Namibian experts who were an active part of this project to begin with were wrong? Those who are in favor of Project Cheetah would argue that there has been the best international opinion which has been sought.
Their international opinion has been sought. Whether it is best or not, time will prove. Because majority of the people consulted are not free-ranging cheetah ecologists. They are veterinarians, captive animal managers. They haven't really dealt with, observed free-ranging wild cheetahs. More recently, both from Namibia and South Africa, there have been hard-hitting publications basically proving what many of us have been saying based on decades of work, based on solid data. So I wouldn't agree that the best international opinion or even national opinion has been sought.
The other point which has been raised is that cheetahs do suffer up to 90%, cheetah cubs suffer up to 90% mortality, and therefore the death of these cheetahs in the last couple of months is not unexpected.
I repeat what I've said, deaths and births don't define the success or failure of a project. So it is interesting that this project has suddenly attracted attention, one, when it was released, and then when the deaths occurred. In between, there's really the hard questions haven't been asked. The really basic questions haven't been asked. What is the quality of the science? Is the conservation objectives appropriate? And the big lion in the room, not the elephant, why isn't the 2013 Supreme Court judgment to translocate lions to Kuno still not implemented? How come we are in such a hurry, running like a cheetah to implement a cheetah project based on an experimental order? And the order only says on an experimental basis you can introduce African cheetahs, when the 2013 Supreme Court order said in letter and spirit, translocate Asiatic lions from Gir to Kuno. So to me, all of this is not about conservation. It's about continuing to stall lion translocation.
Do you think this was an exercise in vanity?
I've called it that and more.
What would you call it?
Glorified safari park.
Is that ultimately
expensive mistake?
Would you call it just that? That perhaps it is nothing more than what you've described. It's the possibility of people across this country seeing a remarkable species in our forests, and that perhaps that's all that it can eventually be, at best.
No, if that happens, that means the project has succeeded, right? If you see free-ranging wild cheetahs, that's the true measure of success. At what cost? How many cheetahs are we going to bring? There are now estimates of 500 to 1,000 cheetahs have to come for India to have a viable population. Is Africa going to keep giving us so many cheetahs? What about our native species? What about Great Indian Bustard? What about Asiatic lion? What about our wolves? What about our floricans? What about our caracal, black buck, chinkara? I mean, just do a cost-benefit analysis of the amount of financial and other investment we're doing in our rest of species and how much this is attracting. And the action plan is not being followed. Animals were to be released within 2 months or 3 months after they came. They've been in prolonged captivity. If you were not ready to release them, where was the tearing hurry to get these animals?
Is it true that ultimately if these animals do find a measure of success in our forests, I'm not suggesting that that may not necessarily happen, that they come into a conflict with other apex predators like the leopard?
Vishnu, this is how nature works. This is called niche separation. Lions, leopards, cheetahs can live in the same landscape. It's not in the same square kilometer, but in the same hundreds of square kilometers. They have their own ecologies, but there is a pecking order. Clearly, lion is at the top. Next would be the leopard, and finally the cheetah, which is why the cheetah exists, makes it so scarce. It exists in very low densities. So that is not an issue. To me, overlapping, and in Africa, cheetahs exist with lions and leopards. In India, they have existed with lions, leopards, and tigers. So yeah, that's really not an issue.
So just a final question to you, a final question or two. In your opinion, is there any benefit at all in bringing this spectacular animal to India? Is there any benefit at all?
See, the benefits are all mentioned in the action plan. So it's not for me to second guess the government on this. I think these are overstated. These are grossly overstated. The cheetah is supposed to come and save our open natural ecosystems, our grasslands. I'm finding it difficult for the cheetahs to save themselves at this point of time. Forget going and saving grassland. Then timelines of 15 years, 30 years. We don't have that kind of timelines with our grasslands or our grassland-dependent species like Great Indian Bustards. To me, it is an expensive distraction. I wish the project well. I don't want the project to fail. But you cannot set aside the national priorities and the Supreme Court order about transmograting lions and suddenly have a foreign interloper.
All right. Thanks very much, Mr. Chella. Very hard-hitting words over there. Your concerns about Project Cheetah. Well, they are over here. And as you mentioned, let's hope that this project does somehow or the other succeed. But it's going to be difficult going forward. Thank you very much for sharing your concerns. Thanks very much, indeed.
Thank you.
The wildlife community in India is squarely divided on this issue. Joining us now, one of the finest, Dr. Anish Andheria, president of the Wildlife Conservation Trust. Anish, good to speak to you. Cheetahs in India, will it work out in the long run?
It's not going to be easy. We need to really make sure that there is land for them. This land that we have is just 700 square kilometers, and it's also not prime cheetah habitat. And in the best habitat in Africa, the density of this animal is just 1 per 100 square kilometers. So if you don't have a land, or if you don't have landscapes which are like 3,000, 4,000 square kilometers, you will not have a stable population. Again, ecologically stable. See, you can have 100 cheetahs in a zoo. So you could have them in captivity and they will survive, they will breed. But if you want them to stabilize in the wild, like the tigers, like the leopards, like some other cats that live in the country, they will need space, and that too, undisturbed space with a lot of prey. So we don't have that right now. So Kuno is an initial stage. The government knows that Kuno was the first step, and it's a baby step. We will be able to comment on the success of the program, I would say, in about 15, 20 years. Of now, we are far away from there.
And Anish, if we are, or if land is found and the open spaces that you talk about are available, is the species itself viable for survival in India?
See, land that we need is an open land. So, for instance, you think about Africa, you think about grassy areas. So if you look at India, then in Gujarat, in Rajasthan, in parts of Madhya Pradesh, in some parts of Andhra also, you may have those landscapes. But today, it is overrun by people, because obviously you should know that in the last 100 years, 120 years, we've lost nearly 200,000 square kilometers of grassland and open lands. So grass and arid. So that typical cheetah habitat that existed about 120 years ago is now not there. See, if a tree goes, people observe and they know that something is wrong. But if you look at India, we think grasslands and deserts are wastelands. So those are areas which are taken over by communities. That's where our developmental projects today, the government is planning huge numbers of solar power plants in marshlands, in deserts, because that's categorized as wasteland. So first of all, in our head, if we want this carnivore to survive, we have to change our psyche from top down, which means we have to start respecting non-forested landscapes. We have to start talking to people, and in these low density areas, say areas around the desert national park near Jaisalmer and all these areas, we'll have to talk to the communities. The communities will have to subscribe to this idea, because you cannot move them. And cheetahs, fortunately, are not like tigers or leopards. There is never an attack from a cheetah on a human being. But definitely, if you have cheetahs, they will go for your sheep and the goats, livestock. And so they have to accept that there will be losses because of the cheetah. Cheetah is always going to be in low density, which means it's not going to be much. They will go for livestock wherever they can get an opportunity, but it's not going to be like a tiger living next to a village, killing a cow every 4 days. That's not going to happen. And I think if we are trying to acclimatize this grassland species, why are we doing it? If you ask me, if we are not going to be able to secure the grasslands that we have lost, we will never be able to bring back the florican, the great Indian bustard, the hyenas, the wolves that have gone, because we have destroyed the... So cheetah can be used, like the tiger was used as a symbol to get the forested species back, and we were able to do this. Elephants' populations have gone up after the Project Tiger was lost. Similarly, cheetah should act as a conduit to get all the other endangered species, which are now counting days. They could go extinct any moment. If we really take seriously, that government at the center has to back this project and work with communities. If we have to give compensation, we have to get the livestock stall fed, then we'll have to get the dogs, either neutered or only inside the house, no feral dogs, because they will transmit a lot of disease. They will kill cheetah cubs. So in fact, I would be more worried of the dogs than the leopard. And so all those are big steps which India has never taken. India has worked in a protected area kind of a situation where we declare an area protected, we get people out, it becomes sacrosanct for wildlife, and then we get our tigers back. It is easy. With cheetahs, it will have to be in public land. It will have to be community land. It will have to be multiple use areas. And that's a different ballgame altogether. And
but you know, Anish, it's really interesting what you say, that if we have the vision to actually do some of what you are suggesting, open up areas, find the land, ensure that the cheetahs are secure, the opening up of grasslands with using the cheetah perhaps as inspiration can be a huge step towards enhancing our biodiversity of species which may go extinct. Isn't that perhaps an even bigger success than just the cheetahs themselves? We have to look at it holistically.
I agree, Vishnu, and when this project was being talked about, I have sat through meetings, I have seen. In my head, I feel we have to take care of the species that are right now extant, and we have not done enough for all those species. Then I told myself, okay, but now that there is political will for this, what is it for a conservationist like me? Why should I align with this project? Then this is what I thought of, that we are already losing so much. We have lost the caracal, really. Caracal is such a charismatic cat. But today, it's barring a few places in Rajasthan, in Ranthambore, which is again a protected area, there is nothing there. But they live in the same habitat as the cheetah. So I started thinking that, okay, now that the project is going to happen, what can it do? So unless, and today what I hear from governments, from states, that we want to earmark another area, which is say Gandhi Sagar, Madnor, that area in Madhya Pradesh, yes, and some other area. But all of those are 500, 400, 300 square kilometers. You cannot stabilize a population, even with tigers and I have studied tigers for the last two decades plus. You need 20 breeding females in one population for that population to sustain itself over a 100-year period with some amount of poaching and forest degradation. So in India, you don't have that. That's why we conservationists keep talking about corridors where you have fewer than 20 females here, you have fewer than 20 females in another park, but if somehow they are connected, then it acts as one population because tigers walk a lot. With cheetah, that could be even, to get 20 cheetah females in one population, you are looking at 3,000 square kilometers. And
does that exist in our country, Anish?
It doesn't.
What are the areas?
It
in Rajasthan or Gujarat?
There are areas, but there currently there is no area that exists without human beings and people who are already.
And Anish, when you bring up this point that, you know, in your professional assessment, it's the availability of space, which is secure for the cheetah, with a lot of trade-off benefits down the line. When you make this point, what is the answer that you get?
So everybody says, yeah, I think they also want. But I know the great Indian bustard and the Florican have gone, not because people went and hunted them down. But in Africa, the same or a relative species, a relative of that bustard is surviving in areas which are 20,000 square kilometers big. And they survive there. In India, because it's a mosaic of farmlands, which is overrun by dogs, then you have pesticides, then you have an area which is protected by the community and a grassland under protection. These are all small parcels. You look at Velavadar, which is a very good grassland habitat. It's not even 100 square kilometers. You look at any habitat. So there what happens is the bustard comes and stays in the safe area for just 50% of the time. Most of the time it is in the farmland. And there are pesticides, the dogs kill there, they eat their eggs, their chicks. So the same thing is true with cheetahs. And so today, there is no habitat like that. However, to say that we will have 4,000 square kilometers, but that will be divided into 10 different parks, cheetahs will not be safe because we will always, it'll be like a zoo. For instance, if you are in a zoo and I'm absolutely against that part where you have a display animal in the open and then you have 10 other animals in the cage. Every few days, you keep shifting them and that's how people come and see. So it will be a glorified zoo if we have a 500, 600 square kilometers. And then you can say that overall, we have set aside 4,000 square kilometers. No, what we need is 2,000 to 2,500 at least areas which will have people, which will have livestock, but where cheetahs, we have to see how are we going to otherwise stabilize it. It's not going to be protected inside a national park all the time. They are going to go out. So in Kuno, what happened? The cheetah that were released from that bigger enclosure, within no time, they were outside.
Yes.
They walked more than 100 kilometers. A cheetah is so accustomed to trotting, it just can walk 20, 30 kilometers in no time. So it's a different ballgame. You will keep running after the cheetah with an antenna in your hand. And bad luck will always be a few steps ahead of you because...
But Arish, let me just ask you one basic question. Are you in principle aligned with Project Cheetah? Do you agree with it?
See, I am aligned only because I don't see any other way of getting the grassland habitats back in the country. That is the only reason why I'm aligned with it, because so many species, and cheetah is that iconic species, and we know from the success, on the back of the success of the tiger and so many other charismatic species all over the world, like the mountain lion in America, you have the jaguar, same iconic personality the cheetah has, and luckily cheetah was found in India. So I only feel hopeful that bustard, we are talking about it, but we are not allocating land. We are talking about saving 100 square kilometers for the bustard. It's not going to work. So if cheetah is the last resort, is to have an iconic animal and with the help of that iconic animal, create these oases for so many other grassland species. Because we don't know how to manage grasslands. We don't know how to manage marshlands. We don't, because we only are fixed, always thinking about the forest. So if we can open up and if we can really, make our policymakers more scientific because of the cheetah. And I'm an optimistic guy. And that's the reason I do conservation. Otherwise, I would have also moved away. And because we lose more battles than we win.
Yeah.
So I think we owe it to the grasslands of our country.
I think we owe it to ourselves also to get conservation right. The benefits of this are incalculable. Thank you very much, Anish. Always wonderful to speak to you. Thank you very much.
Pleasure, Vishnu.